Welcome to this series preview media availability edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. After the practice and scrimmage, senior pitcher Ryan Kraft, freshman shortstop Cooper Malamazian, and head coach Jeff Mercer met with the media.
So, Coach, can you start off with giving an update on Drew Burr and how he's doing?
Yeah, he's supposed to throw live at-bats either next Tuesday, and then hopefully ready for the Iowa weekend. So I talked to him today. Feels good. He's been throwing pins and feels healthy. Says he's about to probably 90% in his pins. So and no issues and no setbacks. So really good news from that standpoint.
Yeah, we've seen Brayton Thomas and Henry Brummel throw a little more recently. Do you have like a benchmark of where these highly touted freshman guys are, not only for this year but going forward?
A benchmark meaning like where you would like them to be at?
Where you think they are and where you want them to be before the season started?
Well, everybody kind of has kind of their own journey. And so you're reading the guy as he kind of goes through it. We're trying to get him in more. I put it a couple ways. They've got really good stuff, and we need to add more stuff. We need to add, over to the back end, be able to add more matchups. Be able to get lefties out better, BT obviously with the slider, but Brummel with the changeup. So the only way to get those guys good enough to help you is to get them in there. I mean, you look at it early on, we really tried to lean on Henry early, had the start against NKU and struggled, and then had a setback. And you also have to be careful with young arms too, is that you want to put them in a position to for the team to be successful, but for them to be successful as well. And so work to try to get him worked back up and feel more confident in the zone more and those kind of things, and then getting back in there and kind of reintroduce him to it, try to work him back up. Brayton struggled a little bit more early and has just kind of followed that progression of a little bit better each week to where he's be able to be competitive in a game. It was a big deal last night for him to have the walk and then get back through it, get out of his inning, finish his own inning. Both of them finished their own inning. So, I mean, that was a big deal for both of those guys. So, you would like guys that are, highly recruited and highly touted to help you. But, at the same time, there's a lot of games left, and you can't go into it trying to force something that a guy's not ready for. And I tell guys, when it comes to freshmen, young pitchers and young position players, there is a difference. You can go play third base as a freshman. As long as you pick up all the ground balls, you strike out four times, you can still win the game. When you're a young arm, you walk the two first guys of an inning and you set up a five-run inning. And so it's not same, and so you have to be respectful. You have to win, and you have to give your chance team a chance to win. But you also want to develop those guys and grow them up. And that's what all the live at-bats are for and the scrimmages are for, is try to get them to where you feel like they can help the team in that way. So hopefully down the stretch they can continue to grow and help us to do both, where they grow up and help us win at the same time. Moving forward, you would hope that they would be able to become more mainstays and into the future starters and be able to be really impactful guys. But you also, McCade Brown through just a couple innings as a freshman, and by his junior year was one of the best pitchers in the country and absolutely a dominant force. So it you've seen guys, Gabe Bierman threw quite a bit as a freshman down the stretch, and McCade Brown didn't really throw at all. Both of them ended up being great players and drafted high and off into their pro career. So it's not necessarily where you start, but how you get where you're going, and you do have to be a little bit careful, make sure you manage them well.
Yeah, we've seen there's some rotations going on at third base and in right field. Koski's taken a lot of starts, and Oliver got the start in the midweek over Moore. Is there any matchups, or are there guys that kind of have solidified spots going into the weekend? Is there stuff you're looking at there?
Well, I think obviously when Andrew got hurt, and then Caleb stepped in and played, and he played really, really well. And as Andrew starts to get more healthy and those things, you try to work him back in when he's prepared and capable of succeeding, but at the same time, Caleb also played really, really well. A bunch of RBIs, hit with guys in scoring position. It's just he's done a great job. When I talked to Will yesterday, Jason stepped in, hit a homer, and took care of the ball. But Will's a great player. Will's going to be a great player. But I thought yesterday for us, I thought Jason gave us a good shot and to win the game. And he came in and did his job and did what he was supposed to do. So I'm sure Will will be back in there at some point, but. it was kind of a one-day decision, and maybe end of the weekend, and it may not. I'll kind of sit down this week and kind of think about what we want to do for this weekend.
With those freshman arms, I guess, how do you kind of balance that, and what are the conversations like in terms of, yeah, we need you to develop, but also if it's not your day, it's not your day?
As far as, like, their success or not?
Yeah.
Saying? Yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. You have an obligation to be able to go out and do the job that you're asked to do. And you don't – this isn't – we're a player development program, and we pride ourselves in being able to grow young guys up. But you still have an obligation to win and to compete. And so it's just – you got to have a conversation. You got to bring them in and talk to them. You got to show them. You got to explain to them. You got to explain what the plan is and where they fit in that. And it's not – and they're fine. They're good. Like you're asking young guys in general. It just – they have to understand their responsibility and our responsibility and how those things work together. And yes, it would be great sometimes if those guys could just go get, you know, no matter what happens, a young talented arm could just go throw four innings. Doesn't matter what happens. You give up 10 runs or no runs, it doesn't matter. But that's not the reality of the endeavor that we've chosen to do. They have to go out and be competitive. So I think communication, like anything else in life, communication is king. If you bring somebody in, talk to them, so explain what we're trying to do and help them to understand where they are in that process, what the short-term, moderate, and long-term vision is and where we're going on that and where you're currently at, I think you can keep people in tow. If you don't communicate and you don't help them to establish a vision for what's going on, then yeah, you can get guys that are frustrated, and you can get a team that's frustrated. You can get an individual that doesn't think maybe they're getting the opportunities that they want. Not that those guys have, but I'm just talking about young guys in general. So I just think communication is really important. Like anything else in life, like any relationship or any friendship, you got to communicate and help them to understand. And I tell guys a lot. You know, this is, I don't know, I'm 39. So this is my 15th year or so coaching or in the coaching game, somewhere around there. And I've watched it 15 times. And a lot of the young guys, this is their first time seeing. They haven't seen the whole picture. Well, how would they have? And so you just have to help them to understand all of those things. And that comparison is the thief of joy. And so it's like, well, that guy gets this and that guy has that. It doesn't matter. What matters is where are you at? What are you capable of doing? How do you get better? And then how do I get where I'm trying to go? I think that's really the main gist of it. Those guys have done a good job the last couple of weeks. They've gotten better. They've been more competitive. We've tried to get them in more game action, more winning and losing moments. Yeah, last night was a winning and losing moment. Those were critical moments for us. And they came in and they did fine. That's a lot better than it was several weeks ago. So I would anticipate them staying on the same climb and being helpful members of the staff for the rest of this year and then into the future.
Yeah, for Maryland coming up this weekend, is there something you and your staff have seen that maybe stands out about that team and stuff that you guys are preparing for?
Yeah, they're always really offensive. The McCoy kid on Friday threw against us a couple of years ago as a freshman, and he looked like Randy Johnson that day. And so I hope he has a great season, but I hope he's not Randy Johnson when he throws against us again. But they're always really offensive, really well coached, competitive. They're used to winning. Any program that has experienced winning and is used to winning is they know how to play down the stretch. They just do. So they're in a similar position where they're fighting for it and they're going through it, and so they'll come in and play their best baseball. But Matt Swope's a great coach. Those guys have always done a great job, and the offense has always been their calling card, and so it'll be a battle to be able to mitigate their damage and keep them to not have the big inning. That's always a big deal. Is can you manage them for zero runs to two runs and not allow innings to get big with free bases and errors and whatnot?
Those adjustments that you said you wanted to make to Devin Taylor and Stadler's stance and their swing, kind of what's the motive behind that and what does that look like? And is that an investment for you that you're seeing, you want to see like a long-term result? Or?
Sure. Yeah, Stadler's hands just get really high and pushy and cuts the face of the ball. His on-base percentage is typically really good, but he's just not going to be the offensive player that he's shown himself to be at times until he's able to rectify that. His just path won't work. So that's obviously an immediate thing. That he's just not going to put the ball in play at a trajectory or velocity that will have success. With Devin, it's a little bit of a unique situation because he's still getting hits and still hitting well. It's just he's not doing the damage that he typically would do. And that comes with just you can get too long in the back, you can wrap, and then it makes for a more of a topspun trajectory when you get to the ball. And so you just kind of working your way through. But his is obviously immediate too, but also the moderate and the long term for him. And it's not a major thing he's gotten away from, but it's just enough. You know, last night he hammered some balls last night. And it was a good day for him. So you're seeing him get better with it. But again, he's come up with guys on base in some big opportunities and big moments. And solo homers are great and singles are great. We want him to continue to do those things. But the ability to drive the ball and then to be more adjustable, especially left-handed pitching, left-handed breaking balls, is typically a product of his hands being in a better position to be able to work with his body slack better and be more adjustable to off-speed. So both of them are immediate, of immediate importance, but also like it's a delayed impact, I should say. They'll be at their best in a week from now, 2 weeks from now. They'll be at their best then, but if you don't start, then you never really get to that high impact.
In a critical stretch of games for you guys, what are you seeing from your older guys, your leaders, who are helping you put the team in the best position to win?
Yeah, I had just a really good conversation with those guys last night post-game, and they wanted to do the split squad with jerseys and just kind of go play it out. And sometimes you just the Sunday game was really frustrating, and you never question. You know, the guys want to win last night. They want to play well. They want to win. But there's a frustration level, and it's like anything in life. Sometimes you just got to go do it and play it out and get through it and get your frustrations out and vent and be able to just have a little bit of fun and kind of change the station a little bit. Like I kind of talked about with basketball a couple weeks ago, and so they wanted to do this, and I'm going to go pitch the last inning. So they asked me to do the coach pitch the last inning, but I told them I wanted the first half of practice and they could have the last half of it. And so that part is good. It's important from those upperclassmen. And we don't typically have a ton of seniors. We don't typically have a bunch of homegrown seniors. We just have a lot of our sophomores or our juniors usually get drafted. So it is important that we try to foster leadership and invest in those young guys and teach them how to be able to lead and be able to communicate, hold themselves to a high standard, but also their teammates. And that is that's a major deal. That's a major deal. The locker room component, dealing with success and failure. You got West Coast teams in the league for the first time, and so you run into UCLA and USC, and now all of a sudden you lose a couple games, and it's like, well, we've never really lost before, and so this is a different experience. I didn't know that was an option, and so how do those guys manage that? You know, with young guys and with themselves, and just a lot of moving pieces. So. Again, you try to communicate, try to talk to them, try to understand where they're coming from. Compromise, I think, in our society is like a four-letter word, and it's not. You know, somewhere in the middle is reality. It doesn't matter what I know. What matters is what they know. And what matters is are they able to go out and apply the information given? You know, I can create an offensive system, but if we don't follow it, it won't work. Dustin can call all the right pitches. If we don't have the confidence to execute them, then it doesn't matter. And so we have to be on the same page about how we handle adversity, how we move through it. No finger pointing, no transfer of blame. Take accountability, all of us together, and then put together a really good plan to be able to navigate difficult times. And that's what – so this is a great example of what we're doing right now is just, you know, spending a couple hours here last night, hearing those guys out, talking to them. What would you like to do? How would you like to see things change or applied? How can I help? How can we be – good stewards to your season and your careers, and then listen to them, right? And there are some things that I may not agree with, right? And there are some things that I think, hey, you probably have a really good point there. Let's see if we can make that adjustment to help it to be a more fluid operation. And so that's what you try to do, is just talk to them and hear them and tell them where I think maybe that they're not exactly, I don't necessarily agree completely, and then also get to the point where we can make adjustments.
Are there any different, like, maybe unique styles used in practice to help get those confidence up? Like, obviously, this helps. Was there anything else you guys are doing?
I think the big thing is when you come off of a road trip, being able to get back in the cages, just get back into your drill work, get back into your simulations. Those things help so much. It's the game is a skill acquired game. And so if you don't use that skill, if you don't touch that skill, you'll lose it so quickly. And so any time that you get away from it, or any time that you play a ton and you get tired, or then you get away from it, you can lose that. And the difference in, you know, a line drive base hit and a topspin ball to the third baseman is, you know, we're talking about half an inch on the ball. Or the difference in, you know, a changeup that comes back for strike three from Horner Field and that cuts and hits the righty in the leg is just a little bit. So you got to get back in and do the things that allowed you to learn that skill, whatever it is. So we tried, and it's so easy. We always want to say, well, so-and-so is not, they're not competing, or they're not giving you their best effort, or they're not focused, or whatever it is. And I think 90% of the time that's a bridge too far. I don't think that's typically the problem. I think typically it's a skill problem or an approach problem or a mindset issue to where we're not where we need to be at as far as how do we execute that skill. I mean, you think about it, when you, these guys dedicate their whole lives to this, just like the coaches do, we all do, right? They wake up and lift 3 or 4 days a week, and they go to class all day, and they train, they come in here, they practice hard, they do everything. When they get in there, they want to go and compete, and they want to succeed. And when they don't, a lot of times it's a structural issue. You know, I think oftentimes we just talk in such broad stroke terms. It's like, well, we weren't tough enough today. It's like, was it that, or did they throw a lot of two-seam and sinkers inside to our righties last night, and they executed them really well, and we swung out of zone, and so a lot of weak contact or a pulse out on the ground. That's the reality. I mean, that's what happened. Their starter threw a four-seam and a two-seam, and we didn't recognize the difference between the two pitches. And so all of a sudden, he gets a ball or two off the plate. You're frustrated. Now you're swinging a pitch in. You get jammed, double play ball. It's like that's how you win and lose games. And it's not saying like you weren't focused or you weren't competing. It's like we didn't execute the plan. So go back to the plan. Communicate what the plan is. Communicate the expectations. How do we have success? What went right? What went wrong? Why didn't it happen the way we wanted it to? And then go play. And not allow yourself to be distracted by, I think, just transfer blame and excuses. I think that stuff is so easy to say, and that's typically not the problem.
We've seen Cole Gillian some weekend series throw in some games that you guys had some big run leads. Is that something you guys do kind of, maybe not on purpose, but have set days for Cole to throw and maybe eat up innings for you guys to give a rest for the bullpen on Sunday?
Yeah, it just went, so he and Grable kind of got nicked up there at the same time. And so you Grable's going 3 or 4, and Gillian's able to go 3 or 4. And so you look at it and say, okay, well, neither one of those guys is going to be able to go 7. So let's make sure we cover one game at the same time. And so then you look up and you can screw it up, which I'll admit that we've done is, you know, early on when you got a starter that's going to go 4 or 5, and then you either take your shot when you're down, or you don't go to your best guy when you're up, and you either. The first game of the year, we go to Drew Burr, and he goes the last 4 or 5 innings. We're down the entirety of the game, and you lose 4-2, and you lose your best guy. And then you probably lose the second game to Xavier because you don't have a closer, right? So you can do it the other way, too, when you're down. Other part is when you're up and you have the game in hand, and you're going to ask the rest of your staff to cover 5 innings, sometimes it's just better to just say, okay, this guy's going to go 4, 3, 4, 5 innings tomorrow. Let's not get caught shorthanded with 2 games. Let's finish this one. And then we'll allow ourselves to know we have one, and try to go win that third game with the rest of the guys that we have available. So last week doing it with those guys, I felt really good. I thought Seabold was going to be a really good matchup. Give him a couple extra days of rest. Stuff was good. It was hot. Came out throwing hard. Just was inconsistent. More for himself. Missing locations more than he typically does. And they got going and they got him. But, you know, the week before he goes 5 shutout against Michigan State. So you felt good going into that with him. So that's why we did it. It was just those guys were both short, and then they're coming back on short weeks as well. So they're kind of nicked up. They're a little bit short. The pitch counts are down. You're on a short week, and so now you're bumping them up a day or two. It's just a lot of those things going together, and you ask somebody to cover. You're essentially covering half a game, and you're putting them in a tough spot. Or you're asking them to throw 100 pitches on 2 days short rest.
Ryan, can you talk a little bit about just kind of your thoughts and strategy if you're in a game and you don't necessarily have your best stuff? How do you work through that to be effective and at least get through some innings?
I feel like you just got to take them one pitch at a time. Throw a ball. Who cares? It's going to happen. Just trust in yourself and just go at it.
Cooper, how do you go about playing, being ready to play two, three different positions? I know you're settled in a shortstop now, but when you started the season, you were kind of moving around a little. How do you go about kind of adjusting to each position and knowing what you need to do?
Yeah, I think, we've worked on it a lot in practice and I've played everywhere. All of us have. That's why we're also, able to adjust to any spot we go to. I'm just confident in my abilities to, use my hands, use my feet anywhere I go. I mean, it kind of correlates. If you know one spot, you can play the other, if you adjust quick enough. So, it's not really a problem.
Ryan, coach told us last weekend, I believe it was, that your nickname is the Sheriff. What's the story behind that?
Honestly, there's not much of a story. He just kind of calls you that. I feel like usually guys who throw in the bullpen are like kind of shut things down. They kind of play the Sheriff, get things done. So
he's kind of. Do you like it?
I don't mind it. I mean, it's kind of funny. So whatever's working, working.
Yeah, and Ryan, for just talked to Coach, he talked that Maryland's a very offensive team. Is there stuff that you and the pitching staff have looked at, maybe you and Dustin have looked at, that you see from this lineup that your guys are going to try to attack?
Not yet, no. I know they're a great offense. We've played them multiple times. They have a lot of great hitters. So I think we just trust in our stuff and we get the job done.
Cooper, you and Will Moore are both freshmen, left side of the infield. Can you talk about what you guys do maybe off the field or in practice together?
Yeah, me and Will are obviously really close friends, being a freshman here. I think kind of in practice and stuff, we kind of work on it. Sometimes you have some trouble kind of in the whole kind of plays. We've worked on that a lot. Kind of, building a camaraderie between us two. Because, obviously, I want to continue to play in the next few years, so hopefully it's the future for us and we'll keep working on that.
Cooper, you've been moving up in the lineup over the last few weeks. Is there any adjustment that's required with that? Are you finding yourself being pitched differently?
I don't want to think about that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, probably it's going to happen where you get pitched differently. And obviously, we're getting out of the season now, so every team you play has scouting reports and all the hitters. So I think kind of that's kind of the bigger factor where how you get pitched rather than where you're in the lineup. Obviously, being in 7-hole, 5-hole, 6-hole, whatever, runners get on different bases and it's different, like who's on base, stuff like that. But I go with the same approach every at bat and, kind of stick with that.
For both of you, Devin Taylor tying that huge record and then probably setting his own record here this weekend, what does that look like celebration-wise for you and your team and him?
Nah, it's a great momentum swing, I think, for the team. I mean, he does all these amazing things, so I think just keep going. We know he's going to be a great player for us on the road in the future, so it's just going to be fun to watch him.
Yeah, it's great news.
Yeah, Ryan, when you've been switching from bullpen to starter kind of throughout the season and you've done both, how does your routine differ from starting? Because obviously you have a lot more time if you're starting the first game of the day. How does your routine differ if you have to come out of the bullpen and maybe only have 20 minutes to get ready versus having an hour and a half?
Honestly, the routine doesn't really change much. I kind of do the same things every time before a game. I'm starting, I'm doing the same thing as I'm from the bullpen. You get the adrenaline rush if you go to the bullpen. You kind of throw some plyos and kind of figure things out. But honestly, it's all the same.
Coach Mercer mentioned that you guys had the back half practice to yourselves today to just have fun and play some baseball. Between that, playing basketball and assembly, how helpful is that for you guys?
I think it's huge. Obviously, today we had a lot of fun chirping each other, saying some good things. Playing basketball, get our minds off baseball for a day. Just have fun with the team. I think that's all you got to do and see what's going on, so it's good.
It builds competitiveness too. We do every practice is pretty similar. We do a lot of things we work on every day. We've done it since September, so kind of have that mid-season. It's exciting for us, and went out there, had fun. It was a good day.
You guys like the pink uniforms?
I like them. They look kind of good.
Will you guys start fighting to wear the sleeveless uniforms again? Is there any fight to wear them?
I would love to. They're really cool. They're old school, but I don't think we have enough number jerseys for them.
I don't have all the numbers for them,
so.
It's unfortunate.
I'm giving them away, so.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Ryan, when you're starting a game versus coming out of the bullpen, is there a certain pitch maybe use more or a different approach you have on the mound?
Honestly, it's all the same approach. I mean, play with your strengths, whether you're starting or in the bullpen. First pitch strikes, we preach that, so, I mean, it's all the same.
Is there anything different you do to make sure you last longer, eat more innings?
Not really. I treat it, if I'm starting, I'm treating as I'm going one inning at a time. Whether I go six innings, whether I go two innings. Same thing out of the bullpen. If I go one inning, close the inning out. Going four innings, five innings, it's all the same. So just go one inning at a time.
Indiana welcomes Maryland to Bart Kauffman Field starting Friday at 6 p.m. See you at the Bart.